When will we ever learn, Brother Andrew?
Well, good afternoon, everyone. When will we ever learn? It seems a strange title, doesn't it? I bet that's what you're thinking. I thought the same too when I was given this title to do at Stockport. And I actually ended up giving at Stockport last May in the football stadium there, the huge football stadium in one of the rooms. First time and only time I've ever been in a football stadium in my life. But about a couple of weeks before I went there, I met some people from Stockport and they said, "Are you going to sing the song for us?" And I thought, what are they talking about? And I suddenly realised that perhaps this title is taken from a particular song. And lo and behold, it is. And among those who sang it were these three, Peter, Paul and Mary. Now, I'm not certain which is Peter and Paul, but I guess Mary's the one in the middle. But it was, I suppose, an anti-war song. But they were dwelling on the fact that we never seem to learn by our mistakes. And to save the embarrassment of having to sing it, here it comes.
Where have all the flowers gone?
Oops, sorry.
Long time passing, where have all the flowers gone? Long time ago.
There's a chorus.
Oh, when will they ever learn?
And that's about it, I think. Oh, that's all. We'll stop at that point. But the point is, when will they ever learn? And it's true, isn't it, of human nature. People tell us things, we read warning signs, and we don't take any notice whatsoever. We never seem to learn from our mistakes. And I'm sure that you're quite well aware that in this building there are emergency exits. And in fact, they're marked here, fire exit. Are you aware of that? These are the sort of signs you don't really notice until the time comes when the place is filled with smoke and you're looking and say, ah, how do we get out? When do we learn? When do we take notice of these warning signs? And nowadays, no smoking signs are there in every shop that you go into because it's against the law to smoke in shops and other public places. So these are all signs which are there, and they're there every day of our lives. They occur wherever we go, signs telling us to do this, do that, or don't do this, or don't do that. When we go onto the roads, then it's the same sort of thing, isn't it? Here comes our car. And the man who drives the car, or the woman who drives the car, has got a code for driving there. And the code for driving on the roads is the highway code. So again, we have lots of signs everywhere which tell us about things we should do or shouldn't do. So when we come across a sign like that, the red one with the bar across the middle, we know it's going to end up in disaster if we head up that street. Because it's a no entry, we can't go there, it's probably one way or the other way. And when we come across the red traffic light, it doesn't mean go, it means stop. If we suddenly decide one day that it means go, we're going to find ourselves in trouble. So we do seem to learn subconsciously from lots of the signs around us, but do we really learn the lessons of life? Now, if we don't keep to the highway code, well, we find we're going to be in trouble because warnings are given for a reason. And if we decide to disregard those warnings, then this is what happens. And of course, disaster strikes. So warnings are there for a reason, a purpose. They're to preserve our health and our safety and to make sure that we're safe in our lives. So, rules. Nobody likes rules, do they? But rules are there for a purpose. And with the highway code, it's pretty obvious that they're made to protect us. They're made for our safety so that we can drive the way that everybody else is doing. If we suddenly decide one day to go on the right-hand side of the road instead of the left, well, I dread to think what would happen. So we have to keep those rules, otherwise we're in trouble. Rules help to preserve life. And there's another rule book which I think is just as important, in fact more important when you think about it. It's God's rule book is this one, not the man-made highway code, but the Bible is God's rule book. And in just a similar way, you can read there about a message for the future. We're told that Paul says to Timothy, from infancy you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So here's a book which doesn't just tell us how to be safe and how to live our lives properly, but also shows us how we can have salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Bible is like a rule book. It preserves life. It shows us how we can live forever. And it guides us in this life we live in now. So, God's rule book, to summarize, has given us warnings. Warnings not just for you and me as individuals, but for everyone throughout the whole world. For you and for everyone else. So let's look at one or two examples of warnings that haven't been heeded in the past. Let's take an example from, nearly 100 years ago. Right, 1912. There was a particular ship built which many thought was unsinkable, the Titanic. And there in 12th of April 1912, it set sail from Southampton, heading towards New York. And of course we know what happened, don't we? The rest is history. But it was a classic example of warnings not being heeded, because halfway across the Atlantic Ocean, they got clear warnings that there were icebergs in the area. But it apparently seems that the captain of the ship decided he wanted to make New York ahead of schedule, so he was going to put full steam ahead, and he was going to get there as fast as he could. After all, isn't this the ship which many said even God could not sink? So what was an iceberg compared to a ship as powerful as the Titanic? So it's a classic example of a warning being given and people taking no notice of it. We know what happened, don't we? The 15th of April, just before midnight on the 14th, the Titanic hit this iceberg, and then it sunk on the 15th in the early hours of the morning. No heed to the warning, and disaster struck. And the sad thing is that all these people lost their lives. So that's why we have rules, and that's why we have warnings. They're there to listen to, and God's rule book is no different. Now, on the Titanic, you can get the picture of people there. It must have been very grim for them, an awful situation when you think about it. But there they were, knowing that the ship was going down, and they sent out distress messages. The CQD was the call sign of the day. SOS was also used, and both call signs, I believe, were used from the Titanic. But nobody listened. It seems the nearest ship thought the people were having a party when they saw the flares going up into the sky. SOS, save our souls. That's the message which goes out when people are in distress nowadays. Save our souls. And that's the important message, actually, which comes from the Bible. Save us. When we're talking about saving our souls, we mean save us, help us. We don't mean try and save something which lives forever inside us, because the Bible doesn't tell us about that sort of thing. The Bible teaches that our souls are our beings, where the souls are ourselves. We are souls. And that Jesus is the Saviour of the world. We pointed this out in our earlier passage from Timothy, that we can gain salvation by reading the Scriptures. So here is a trustworthy saying we read that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. So here's our lifeline. It's like the lifeline being thrown out to us as we're there on this sinking ship. Because that's what life is all about, isn't it? That life is a dead end. One day it will come to an end, and we don't like to think about it. But here is our life jacket. Here is our safety belt. Here is something which is held out to us from the scriptures. It's a wonderful message from the Bible that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And actually Paul said he was the chief sinner, the world's worst sinner. But that's the same boat we're all in. We're all sinners. And Christ Jesus has come to save us. So another example of warnings not heeded. Let's have a look at our present day. Now, anybody recognise this fellow? Oh, I'm sure you've all seen him. His actual name is Jordan Magnus. No, I haven't seen him. I never saw him before until I got this talk ready. But apparently, this man is classified as a prophet simply because he foretold one of the great disasters of our time. His name was George Magnus. And he's widely acknowledged that he was the one who predicted the financial crisis that we're in today. He was the one that said this US mortgage crisis is going to trigger a global recession. Did anyone listen to him? Did anyone take heed to his warning? Did people ever learn? No, of course they didn't. And you know the story, the rest is history. As doom and gloom came into the world, and the world's financial crisis, the Bank of England lowering the interest rates, the squeeze, the economic crash, it all went through 2008 and 2009. Only now are things beginning to look a little bit brighter. So the credit crunch is history, isn't it now? We're in the middle of it, or hopefully getting towards the end of it. But this tidal wave came. People knew it was happening, and nobody took any notice. And the house prices began falling. They're now beginning to rise a little bit. And we know the story of Northern Rock, with all those queues of people we saw on the television screen, there waiting to try and get their money out. We nationalised in February 2008 to try and resolve the situation. So it's in bad times, isn't it, for a lot of people. But we say, he told us so. Who was it who told us so? Well, this man also predicted it. They called him Dr. Doom because they didn't believe a word he said. His name is actually Dr. Mark Faber. But he's the man who in 2006 said, look, we're going to have a financial collapse and a worldwide recession. And people laughed at him. They ridiculed him. They thought it'll never happen. Because we don't like to take heed to warnings, do we? Because we know it'll affect us and the comfort of our lives if things have to change. But what he said was so true. There was nothing remarkable about him. He just had financial insight to see what would happen. And so you've got the collapse of Lehman Brothers, the UK bank bailout of 2008, Lloyds and HBOS merging and so on. You know what's happened, and base rates gone down. All that has happened, and we know it all happened. But the Bible, you know, also predicted that these things would take place, that the world would be in a particular bad time as we head towards the return of the Lord Jesus. It was Jesus who said that there would be great distress in the world, unequal from the beginning of the world and never to be equaled again. So here's a clear warning. The warning comes from the past, almost 2,000 years ago, but it's a warning which applies today and is fulfilled today. That there is great distress in the world, and the economic crisis is only part of that. And in 2 Timothy 3, we warn there that perilous times are coming. Times are going to be so bad, says Paul, that they're going to be called perilous, full of perils. And that's a pretty powerful word to use. So we're actually told what we can do to survive. So it's not a message of doom and gloom, is it? That's why they called that man a little earlier Dr. Doom, because he was predicting things which nobody wanted to listen to because they were so bad. But the message of hope we're giving this afternoon is that there's an answer to these things, that we have to seek the right way, follow the right path, seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. So imagine that the Bible is like a great big signpost, and it says, go on, come this way, follow my way, says God. This is the way which will lead to life. So another example then of warnings not heeded. More examples from our present day and age. What about this then? Global warming. Yes, I think that there's been discussions about this, there's been summit meetings about global warming, what are we going to do about it? Things are hotting up, although it doesn't seem like that when we look at outside the window and see all the snow. But nevertheless, the predictions are there. Something is going to give sooner or later. That's a warning about a warming of this present day and age. Food shortages. Now, here's a sad state, isn't it, that great parts of the world are so dreadfully short of food. But this picture here is a dreadful scene to look at. And when you look at all those people who are rather overweight in the background, then you think that it isn't really fair, is it, that these people in the world should suffer whilst people in this part of the world have more than enough. And a map reveals that, yes, the warnings are here. Where there is food crises, where there are food crises in the world, if you look at the red areas, they're caused by conflict and violence. And there's quite a lot of red areas in the world there which are causing these food shortage problems, the food crises. Natural disasters are the blue ones. Economic difficulties are the small green ones. But by far the red areas are there, which show you the areas which are really caused by man's inhumanity to man. And the end product is the ordinary people, the poor of the land, dying because they have no food. Dreadful situation. So these are the pictures we see. But remember, these are the things that Jesus said would happen. He warned us. Do we take heed to his warnings? We read about this in Luke 21, that there could be earthquakes in various places, there'd be famines and pestilences. And that's what we see now in the world. There's always an appeal for money to help in some part of the world which is stricken with famine and shortage of food. And Jesus warned us it would happen. But we can be thankful that God has the answer. Because there is a time coming when we're told corn is going to abound. There's going to be so much of it that when it even grows on the tops of the hills where corn doesn't normally grow, it's going to sway, it's going to flourish, it's going to thrive. And if it's like that on the top of the hills where it doesn't normally grow, just think how tremendous it will be in the valleys where it does grow. There's going to be no shortage of food in the future. So what you could look forward to is something like this. Now, this isn't a photograph of our Christmas lunch dinner the other week. Daniel, I could ask you, you youngsters, does this look like your table you had on Christmas Day, anybody? Anybody courageous enough to put up their hand and we can see whose houses have plenty of food? No, obviously, these are the sort of things that we have in this part of the world. Plenty of food, too much of it, and that poor part of the world goes without, and they suffer enormously as a consequence. But all this can be sorted out, and God is going to sort it out. There is going to be no food problem in the future when Jesus is king. So the question is, what can we do? So here's where we get to be a little bit more personal. Because so far we've seen the warnings from the Bible have told us that, yes, these things are going to happen in the world, but what about you and what about me on our personal basis? Well, here's the advice from Jesus. Make a choice in life, a very special choice. Don't choose that broad, wide gate which leads to destruction. That road is full of people, there's too many on it, and it only ends in destruction. But we've got to enter the narrow gate, and remember that the road we're going to go on through life isn't going to be easy. It's going to be narrow, and only a few people will be on it. Now, here this afternoon, the choice is yours to get on that road, to think about it, not to follow the mass of people in this world who are on that broad highway leading to destruction. Take a contrast here, the M4, M25 junctions, you see that sometimes, or more often than not, it's like a great big car park. And the same is true in other countries. Here you've got, what, six lanes? And they're heading, again, nowhere. There's so many cars on it. By contrast, there's a narrow road which seems quite empty. Now, Jesus is telling us that in life we've not got to follow the masses. We've got to choose instead the simple message which comes from Jesus, which will be different to any other message in the world, but we will lead us on that narrow road which leads to life eternal. So here's a narrow road, not the sort of road I'd like to really drive on, halfway up a mountain there. And you can actually get a close-up of that as you look out of the window of the car. This is in Bolivia, I believe. Imagine driving on that road as you're peering over that sheer drop. It doesn't look to have much support, does it? But really, the road that we're asked to go on by the Lord Jesus perhaps not might not be so treacherous, but it does have its differences from that broad motorway of life. It's not easy. No one says it is easy to follow the Lord Jesus. But if you do make that choice to follow him, it will be the right one. It will be the one which does lead to eternal life. So the message is, heed the warning. When will we ever learn? Well, let's learn today. And let's take notice of what the scriptures say. Let's take heed to the warning, to hold out our hands and let the Lord Jesus rescue us. Because he's coming back to this world and he's going to be king of this world. He's going to rule the world and solve all the world's problems. No one else can do it. Only Jesus can. So my final appeal to you is to please heed the warnings. Remember the song, if you like. When will we ever learn? Please do learn from these experiences. Learn from the scriptures. And take notice that the greatest event of all time, the return of the Lord Jesus, is about to happen. Thank you.
On your behalf, I would like to thank Roger for what he's said to us this afternoon.